blessed us to be able to see another Sunday, another day, just in general, for us to not just to worship Him, but you know, just to enjoy the life that He has given us. Sometimes we take for granted the small things. So, you know, if you notice in my prayers, I always give thanks to God for the day, for what He has given us, for each moment that He has given us. Because sometimes, you know, you don't realize, you know, that God is even in little things. You know, don't pay attention to those things. And so, this morning, I want to continue my series through the book of Joshua. I want to look at Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. We're looking at how God has starting to fulfill His promise to bless Israel with the land of Canaan. And so now they're moving into the land of Canaan, and they're not just moving into it, but they also have to displace the people who are there in that land. And so, and here chapter 3, we see they're crossing over the Jordan River, which in itself is a task they must do. This book highlights some acts of faith, them gaining strength through their faith, and them taking possession of that very blessing in which God has promised them. At this point in the series, the two spies have already returned from Jericho, doing as they commanded. They were commanded in checking out the city. Rahab, as we have discussed last time, helped them to avoid getting captured, and now they have to report what they have found. Besides what information they gathered before meeting Rahab, I'm sure they were anxious to report the fact that that she herself told them that in chapter 24. In verse 24 of chapter 2, they said, "For indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." So the next day, Joshua wastes absolutely no time and heads towards the Jordan. Before crossing, they spend 3 days giving instructions on what to do to cross the Jordan as they continue on towards the city, so that they can go in and claim the land that they had been promised. Now you can just imagine what was going through their minds at this point. These are the people and the children of the people that had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. These people had been sleeping in tents all this time, and up to this point, they hadn't had a land of their own, nothing that they can call their possession. Once they take this land, they could build houses of their own, grow crops, and have a permanent water source of their own. For them, up until this point, this had all been just a dream, something that they had hoped for. But before they could go in and take the land, they had one last hurdle to overcome, and that was the Jordan River. This really was a hurdle, because now, after a small journey and 3 days in close proximity to the river, they are seeing just how high the waters were. Verse 15 actually tells us, "For the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest." So here it is now, because it's springtime, and if you anything you look at on the Jordan River, it'll tell you that the Jordan River starts off as a small little river, but as springtime comes around, it swells to over a mile wide. And so the Encyclopedia Britannica says that the Jordan River is anywhere from 50 to 200 feet deep at these times. So at this point, it's not just a river that you could very easily stroll across. This is pretty deep waters, and because the waters have swelled, that means the waters are moving at a rapid level as well. And so, Anybody trying to try and cross here is going to have a difficult time, not to mention the hundreds of thousands of people that are already trying to cross the river. Now here it is, they've gotten so close to getting what they have wanted, and now they are confronted with what seems to be an impassable river. It's funny how in life sometimes whenever you're trying to accomplish something significant, there always seems to be something that wants to stand in the way. Sometimes it's unpassable obstacles or circumstances that are in out of our control. Sometimes other people stand in the way of what we are trying to do. But by and large, the greatest thing that's standing in the way of what we are trying to accomplish is ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong. Life will provide an abundance of challenges for you to keep busy with. But sometimes we face our challenges and our inner dialogue begins to talk us out of moving forward. One of the reasons why it took me so long to finally get up the courage to go out to school was because my inner dialogue was constantly bringing up things that just made too much sense. You know, I would tell myself, well, you know, I'd have to quit my job, and it's going to be difficult for us to support ourselves while I'm going to college, and my mind would come up with every reason in the world why this just wasn't going to work, and so I never took the effort to try and move forward. And it's funny, you know, God moved things in my life and made it possible for me to, he eliminated all the excuses, you know, just like he did with Moses. Moses gave God seven different excuses why he couldn't go and serve him, and God quickly eliminated every single one of them, you know. And so when I lost my job, God said, okay, it's time. And so now, you know, we stand in our own ways. You know, sometimes when it's time for us to get to something that is really important for us to accomplish, we are the ones who keep us from getting to the point where it might be something that will bless our lives. Now, these people had spent 3 days watching and hearing the rushing waters and wondering how was it possible that they were going to get across this river. There are hundreds of thousands of people, women and children and all their possessions and the herds of cattle, and not to mention the elderly and those who might be sick. It's easy in hindsight to just say, oh, well, we can just trust in God and he will provide a way. But sometimes your obstacles are right before you, and that seems to be all that you can see is the obstacle that is right there in front of you. A feeling begins to persist that begins to make you doubt. We all at times have faced our own personal Jordans that seem so powerful that we don't even try to make it across. But God had not brought them to the Jordan just to leave them there. One writer says he knows how to turn a no way into a highway. God's plan was to take them further than they had ever been. But the real question to them and to us is, will we walk by sight or by faith? Yeah. Do you really believe that God can create a path where there is no path? Joshua chapter 3 presents a principle that we can see all throughout the Bible, but especially in Luke chapter 18, verse 27, when it says, what is impossible with men is possible with God. We can see that God was showing Israel and us how to move from being stuck and being stalled to being conquerors. Let's look at how God worked with Israel in Joshua chapter 3, 2 through 4. Chapter 3, verse 2 through 4, and it says, so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, and you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know that the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. So why did God choose to have them use this setup to cross the river? You know, when you think back to the time when God had opened up the Red Sea, they didn't have all this preparation beforehand. They just, well, he just opened it up and they went across. But at the same time, at that point, they were being chased by the Egyptians. And so it wasn't a whole lot of time to say, hey, okay, you got to get into this formation and do this and do it whatsoever. But it's at this point that God can take his time. And not only to get them across, but also to help them, and by extension, help us to, and all followers of God, to understand the principle that we need to put God first in our lives. We need to make sure that he is in the forefront, that he is guiding us along the way. The Ark of the Covenant was not only carried the Ten Commandments written by God's own finger, but the proof, the pot of manna, to remind them of God's provision. It also carried Aaron's rod, which number 17 tells us God caused to miraculously grow leaves. The Ark itself and everything in it are the very real and visual representations of the power, provision, and love of God and his presence with them. And so, as Joshua said in verse number 10, by this you will know that the living God is among you. He wanted to make sure that Ark is right there in front of them so it can alleviate all those fears, all those doubts, all those worries about what is going to happen, how are we going to do this, and whatsoever. Just keep God out there in the front. Then all of that stuff will begin to fade away because you're focusing on where you're going and on who you are serving. He is there before every obstacle, every battle or confrontation, every challenge. The only thing we have to do is follow his lead. In the church, we sing the song, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow," saying, "I'll go with him all the way." Sometimes we sing "Anywhere with Jesus," saying, "Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below, anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid." My question to you is, are these just the words of a song to you? Or is this really what's in your heart? Are you fully trusting in God to take care of every major event in your life before you even get to it? We say that we believe. We say that we have faith, but there are times when something happens or somebody says something that we don't like, and all of a sudden, faith goes right outside the window. Matthew West has a song that comes on K-Love Radio called "Truth Be Told." He says, lie number one, you're supposed to have it all together. And when they ask how you're doing, just smile and tell them, never better. Lie number two, everybody's life is perfect except yours. So keep your messes and your wounds and your secrets safe with you behind closed doors. Truth be told, the truth is rarely told. Now I say I'm fine, yeah I'm fine, oh I'm fine, hey I'm fine, but I'm not, I'm broken. And when it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not. And you know it. I don't know why it's so hard to admit it when being honest is the only way to fix it. There's no failure, no fall, there's no sin you don't already know, so let the truth be told. You see, many of us do a pretty good job of putting up a false facade for other people. We put on a good show and make everybody think, hey, everything's, you know, sunshine and roses and I'm okay. But the truth of the matter, sometimes we got some issues. The truth of the matter is sometimes we're struggling with some things. And the thing is, when it comes to us claiming our faith with God, it's not something that you can, as they say, fake the funk with. you have to walk the walk and talk the talk. You know, you can't just say that you have faith with God and think that that's just enough. See, he knows that those people standing by the river will probably be more focused on that obstacle than they would be focused on him. That's why he is giving them clear instructions. His lead is what they need to be focused on. They need to come after him. We can eliminate a lot of fears, the doubts, and the worries if we just simply follow his lead. See, God doesn't always tell us every single step of the way. You know, he doesn't tell us what every little obstacle that we're going to come across. All he tells us is to obey, to follow him. Let him guide the way, and he will make a way. When we don't even have a way, he will make a way. He will take care of us. He will tell us where we need to go. And this was the case with Israel. God made sure that they kept their distance from the ark. 1,000 yards behind, for one thing, it showed respect to God, that he was out there in front. But another thing that was important about that was that it helped them to stay focused on him. If they're more focused on him, then they don't have time to worry about what's going on with the river. Yeah. Then in verse 5, he tells them that they must sanctify themselves. The Hebrew word for consecrate means to the Hebrew word for sanctify means to consecrate, prepare, to dedicate, to be hollow, to be holy. If they're going to accomplish what seems to be impossible, they need to have themselves set apart for him. So even though they are about to go into battle, he doesn't make sure that their swords are ready. He doesn't go along to make sure that their armor is in place. He doesn't make sure that they have practiced their formations. See, he makes sure that they sanctify themselves because this is going to be a spiritual battle. That's why he said, Lord, the Lord will do wonders among you. There is a reason why Jesus told his disciples not to worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will take worry about itself. When your spiritual life is in order, God already has tomorrow taken care of. Even when you don't already have it all, the resources on hand, even when you don't have the knowledge and understanding or the experience of how to deal with the situation that's coming, God is all that you will ever need for the circumstances that come across your way. But when we are preoccupied with our desires and our wants, we will find that sin will be a bigger roadblock than any other obstacle we can find. How can we expect God to do amazing things in our lives if we are so wrapped up in the world and what we have and what this world offers that we begin to forget about him? Sanctifying or consecrating ourselves means that we abstain from just focusing on what the flesh wants and cater to the spirit. We set ourselves apart from serving sin so that we might serve God. God tells Joshua that the priests carrying the ark will have to step down into the waters, and then the waters would be cut off. Now, remember, the waters have already swelled over their banks. These waters are higher than what they normally would be. These men are carrying a humongous gold-laden box that has not only the stone tablets that have the Ten Commandments written on them, but it also has Aaron's rod, the manna, and other other ordinances written by Moses. And so it's not something that is very light to carry. Okay, and so these men have to carry this thing on their shoulders through this water. And God tells them, step into the water first, and then the waters will stop. And so, here it is. This step required that their faith be bigger than their fears. All eyes were on them and on that ark. The entire nation was watching. The men were who were going to be who were already in their army with the swords and everything, when they were ready, and they were watching. Okay, their eyes were not on the battle to come. Their eyes were right there on the ark, so they had to pay attention to what God was doing with them, so they can have courage to understand what God is going to do for them as they go into this battle. This step required that their fears be bigger than their faith, that their faith be bigger than their fears. So understand that there are times where God won't just remove your obstacles. There are times when he will make sure that you go through your obstacle to get to the goal that he's trying to get you to. And that means sometimes we've got to get our feet wet. We can see that when we take the risk of giving generously, we will find that we can trust God to take care of us. But first, we have to get our feet wet. We can take the risk of forgiving or asking for forgiveness from other people. We will find that God will forgive us. But first, we have to get our feet wet. When we take the risk of doing good in the lives of other people, we will find that God will bless our lives and we will reap what we have sown. But first, we have to get our feet wet. God gives us progress in His way, not ours. His timing, not ours. And there will come a point when you must act on what God has said if you expect to cross your own personal Jordan. God is interested in doing some great things in our lives and some amazing things with what we have and what He has given us. But if we expect to be blessed tomorrow, we have to trust Him today. The chapter closes out with the priests, all the priests and Israel standing on dry ground. As a matter of fact, the waters had receded so much that God had told Joshua for them to take rocks from where they stood when the priests first stood in the water. He told them, take some rocks from there, and that'll be a testament for you when you get to where you're going. Yeah. And so the principle for us is we have to realize that God, as long as God is in the lead, as long as He is before us, that there is no obstacle that can stop us. Because we are more than victors in Christ. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Well, the faith is what gives us the victory in this world. But we will never cross the river unless we take steps of faith. Today, we must believe that there is nothing impossible for God. And that He will keep His word. 1 John 5:4 tells us that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. If we stay focused on Christ and follow Him, we will have that victory. Life is going to throw a whole lot of obstacles your way. The question is, have you been working on your faith to be bigger than your fears? Have you been focusing your attention on what God is doing in your life versus what this world is trying to do to you? Amen. This morning, don't worry about the obstacles that you come across. Don't worry about the Jordan. Stay focused on Christ. Amen. Stay focused on Him, and He will guide you through everything. This morning, whatever your needs are, let God know. Put it in His hands because He is taking care of you. You heard the word. Believe it with all your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus being the one true Son of God. And be baptized for remission of your sins. This morning, whatever your needs are, let them be known as together we stand and sing the invitation song.